does with them. Well, Philippians chapter 4, we were there this morning and we looked at those whose names are in the book of life. And tonight I want to go back there, and I had mentioned about preaching about ladies' ministry, or the ladies in the ministry. And this Wednesday night, looking at preaching about the Antichrist, the fourth beast of Daniel chapter 7. So if you look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 1, let's just read it together again. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. And I think there's something that we need to start out with the onset of understanding here in the passage, that the Holy Ghost is using very personal description. He's using people's names. And I think that's an important thing for us to note. If you look, he says, Euodias, Syntyche, verse 3, someone who is unnamed but is a true yoke fellow. Some believe that to be Epaphroditus. Very well could be, because he was the messenger of the Philippians. And then an unnamed group of women which labored in the gospel. And then Clement, a very popular name you can find in that day and age, but yet we really aren't certain exactly who that Clement is. There are many ideas. And then another unnamed group, fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. So there's a very personal address taking place. And I believe it's because of what Paul in his heart knew was necessary, and that is to have laborers for the harvest. There's two main problems that I think Paul is addressing here. And one of them is a ministerial problem. And what I mean by that is this. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 9, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. I used to believe that just to be a missionary-centered verse. I have come to believe every church needs laborers in it. That one of the great needs of Tabernacle Baptist Church, are you listening to me? One of the great needs of our church is more laborers. If we had more laborers, we could have a larger children's home. One of the reasons we can't have a larger children's home is because we don't have enough laborers. And we have put out letters asking, hey, would you come alongside and labor with us? We have prayed about that specifically. God, would you please send laborers? And I'm telling you right now, there is a need for laborers. And Paul is addressing that. That's why he says in verse 3, these women, notice the Bible says, help those women which labored with me in the gospel. So women can be laborers. Can I get an amen right there? I didn't say women could be nursery workers. Look at it again. These women which labored with me in the gospel. That means the work of reaching men and women for Christ in laboring that the gospel be spread. And the Bible says these women are laborers with Paul in the gospel. And then he mentions another group, my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. So you've got a group of laborers whose name is in the book of life. And then you've got a group of laborers who are women, and Paul notes them specifically. Sometimes I have been, berated that women don't have a larger role in Baptist churches. And usually that conversation centers around about women being in leadership. And all I would just say is this, is that the Bible's very clear that the man that's in the pulpit ought to be a man and shouldn't be a woman that's preaching to the people. That's not something that we think is necessarily a superior position. It's just God's plan. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, God is the one that said that the man would be the head of the woman and that Christ would be the head of the man. That's not something that is Baptist doctrine. That's Bible doctrine. And it doesn't mean that because a woman cannot be behind the pulpit leading in preaching. And I know someone says, well, what about Beth Moore? And what about, and I'm not going to mention the others' names. What about these ladies that pastor churches? Well, that's something that they'll have to give an account for. I'm just telling you that in the Bible, God expects a bishop to be the husband of one wife. And that's Bible. That's just Bible. And it doesn't mean that we believe we're superior. Or that women can't do anything else. There are no women deacons. in the Bible. And Phoebe, though some try to make her a deaconess, when you read it in English, all the Bible says about Phoebe is that she's a servant. And I want to say tonight, listen, you may not be able to occupy as ladies the pastorate or the deacon office, but you definitely are important servants of Tabernacle Baptist Church, and not just in the nursery. You men need to say amen right there. Right. I don't know what we would do as a church if we didn't have women who were laboring in the ministry, who were putting forth not just time, but energy and effort. And Paul is addressing them right here. The Holy Ghost is emphasizing these women in chapter 4 in verses 2 and 3. And I've had men take issue with that very thing itself. And they do so by taking and quoting out of 1 Timothy chapter 2 that women are to be silent in the church. You know, when you look at that, that goes right along with 1 Corinthians chapter 14. You know, the Bible's very clear that a woman was not to prophesy in the church or to speak in tongues in the church. But that in no way means that women were supposed to come in, sit down, be quiet, not say anything whatsoever. And the reason I know that is because of where I am in the Bible. Look again, right here in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 2, he mentions two women by name. And then in verse 3, he says, help those women which labored with me in the gospel. They're laboring in the gospel. They're active in what they're doing. And I'm sure they're using their voice. So one of the problems is laborers. And I would just say tonight, ladies, the ladies of Tabernacle Baptist Church, we need you to labor here in this church. If we're going to be what we need to be for God, we need the ladies of this church to labor. Now, I'm going to say this tonight. We appreciate that labor. Amen. Well, Brother Dan appreciates it. There was another man back over here that appreciates it. I say we as a church, we appreciate that labor. Amen. We do. You may not get a card. You may not have your name called. You may not have somebody recognize you. You know, there are so many things about motherhood that people never recognize. But you know, as time goes by, boy, you hear people talking about the mother that God gave them. And the Bible speaks about in Proverbs 31 that her children shall rise up and call her blessed. You may not be rewarded here, or you may not be acknowledged here, or you may not be put in the limelight here. But I'm telling you, one day, God's going to see to it that you receive a full reward for the labor that you expended for Christ. I believe that's an emphasis in this passage. Those laborers are needed. But not only the laborers, there's a problem here that Paul deals with personally. If you notice, he mentions by name Euodias and Syntyche, and he mentions Clement also by name. And then he identifies an individual true yoke fellow. That's getting very personal. All right? I want you to think in your mind with me. That's very personal. These are people that existed historically. There was a woman by the name of Euodias and one by the name of Syntyche, and there was a true yoke fellow that Paul was writing to there in Philippi, and there was a man by the name of Clement. They were there. They were literally there. They were personal people. They were alive. They were not just something in the background. And there was a problem that must have come up in verse number 2. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind. That apparently there was a problem of having all the laborers be like-minded. Have you ever tried to get 15 people on the same page, try to do the same job? We've had work days in Alabama. We're going to have one here before long in the spring. And we're going to take and probably put a list in the auditorium, and we'll put a list perhaps in the chapel. We'll probably have a list somewhere in a foyer that has to deal with the outside. Maybe we'll have one in the Randall building. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know, Miss Sandy, if she'd want one in children's home. But here's what I'm saying. There'll be a list there, and there would be several things down through that list you could do. And inevitably, we would have a lot of people show up, because I would encourage people, hey, let's come, everybody be here for work day at the church. And boy, people would show up, and they come, and they would look at something on the list, and inevitably, I mean, it's just one thing on there. Oil the hinges of all the doors in the church. And you find somebody disagreeing, I think you need to spray the WD-40 on the top. And somebody says, no, you need to wipe it down on the side here. Other one says, no, you got to catch it and keep it from dripping here. And you got two or three people trying to figure out how they're going to oil the hinges of the doors in the church. And all I'm going to say is people have different opinions. Now, come on now. There is no way you can keep people from having different opinions. Sir, you and your wife have different opinions. Well, that was really quiet. Ma'am, you and your husband have different opinions. The children in the same home, they have different opinions. And sometimes that difference of opinion, what it causes is conflict. These are people that God is noting who are laborers. But these laborers, two of them, Euodias and Syntyche, are in conflict. They are not of the same mind. There is a difference of opinion between the two. It doesn't tell us what it is. The Bible doesn't say, it just says, I beseech, he's begging, he's pleading. I beseech Euodias, that's individually. I beseech Syntyche, that's individual. That they be of the same mind in the Lord. That you need to stop your separation from one another in your ideology because you're supposed to labor together in the Lord. And boy, you got two ladies in this church in Philippi that are ministers, but they are at odds with one another. Now, you don't all have to say amen. It doesn't matter if you do or not. I find it hard when men have problems personally in the church. Sometimes that's very difficult to deal with, and it's not easy. But when women have problems in church, now, I'm not a kid preacher. I'm telling you, you get two ladies mad at one another, and it's liable to be a fire you may not be able to hold and put down. I mean that. I'm talking about saved ladies. Listen, he's talking about women that are laborers in the gospel. He's talking about people whose names are in the book of life. These are saved people. These aren't lost people, but there is a conflict. And can you imagine? Can you imagine being in the church of Philippi the night this was read? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine coming through chapter 2 and all the blessings about this mind being in you which is in Christ Jesus, and how that he humbled himself and took on the form of a servant, then reading through chapter 3 and all those encouraging things, forgetting those things which are behind. And then he comes to chapter 4 and he begins reading, and when he says, dearly beloved, in verse 2 he says, and I beseech you, Euodias. And I beseech Syntyche. Now listen, if you think they had a spat and that both their names were mentioned, do you think the level went up then probably a few degrees? That they be of the same mind in the Lord. Now you know what he did? He didn't rebuke them. He didn't say, you bunch of mean-spirited women. He didn't call them a bunch of names. In fact, I'll say this. There may be preachers that take and call names when they address women, but as long as I'm pastor, they're not going to be doing it from this pulpit. They can go to another pulpit and do that. I think you ought to hold women in higher esteem. I think you ought to hold them in high regard. I don't think you ought to take and use names that are demeaning that way. So he doesn't do that. In fact, all he does is he just says, I'm begging you. I beseech you, Euodias. I beseech you, Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. I need you laboring, but I need you to have the same mind. I need you to put aside the petty differences. I need you to take and put aside the things that you have the different opinion about. And look, different opinion is going to bring something that is hard sometimes to cause to come together. That's why we have four gospels in the Bible. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. How many of you agree with me that they do not contradict one another? Do you believe that? There is no error in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And yet, sometimes when you look, Matthew gives details that Mark omits, or John gives details that nobody says. And you say, well, is that a contradiction? No, it's a different viewpoint of the same time and of the same thing that one man sees that another man did not see. And that doesn't mean that somebody's right or somebody's wrong. It just means that they're looking at things from different viewpoints. And you know what? You're not going to change that viewpoint. But you know what you can do? Are you listening? You can have people have the same mind in laboring for the Lord. We've got to be able to work together. We need more laborers, but we've got to have the same mind. And he's mentioning particularly these ladies. Now, I want you to notice, if you look in your Bible, I think he gives the insight in how to do that. He says, I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. That same mind. We looked in chapter 2, a renewed mind. We looked in chapter 2 at a mind that was like-minded in lowliness of mind. We looked at the mind of Christ, who was selfless and sacrificing and a servant. We looked at all those things, but if you notice, he puts the little phrase in there that they may be of the same mind in the Lord. To be able to come together, instead of highlighting and accentuating our differences, he says, I want you to take and rather give your attention to the things that are the same in the Lord. And if you look, he uses that word in the Lord in the very next verse, in verse number 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Can I say tonight, if we're going to be of the same mind, we're going to have to find our joy in the same Lord. And I'm going to tell you right now, you and I may differ, but he's altogether lovely. You and I may be on different sides of the fence, but whatever side he's on is the right side. And I may not be able to find joy in somebody's difference of opinion, but I ought to be able to find joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, I'm not just preaching tonight. You've got to find joy in not being the person that gets to do what you want done. You've got to find joy in the Lord Jesus Christ being glorified. Rejoice in the Lord, not rejoicing that you won. I got my way. The chair's got to face the direction I wanted. I got to control the temperature. That's not working together. I've got to be able to find the joy in the Lord, that same mind in the Lord, so I can rejoice in the Lord. How many of you agree with me? We got a Savior that's altogether lovely. Do you think if we spent more time thinking about him and rejoicing in him, we'd have less time thinking about the things that are different about us? Amen. Amen. And then not only are rejoicing in the Lord, but look what else he speaks about in the Lord as well. The Bible says in verse number 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Boy, I don't know about you, but I believe the Super Bowl, I don't know what time it starts tonight, but it'll end sometime tonight. And sometime tonight, it's going to move to the fourth quarter. And at some time tonight, that fourth quarter is going to start moving down. And they're going to start talking about one team may end up being coronated as the Super Bowl champions of the world. And they'll talk about how that they've made history and all the many things that will be said about them. And you know what will happen 100 years from now? Nobody will remember it. But I'm telling you what we're in right now. We're in the last minutes of the last quarter of the church age, and the trumpet's going to sound. And he says, let your moderation be known unto all men. Hey, moderate things. Hey, go ahead and take some things. It's all right to take some things and keep unity and not have to say it's my way or no way at all. It bothers me when somebody says, I tell you what, if I can't have it my way, I'm taking my ball and I'm going home. You ever been around people like that? Well, now, some of y'all are not smiling tonight. You're making me really nervous right now. That makes me nervous. Makes me nervous. All right? Somebody says, if I can't have it my way, I'm just taking my ball. I'm going home. Y'all play by yourself. No, you, the same mind. You need to moderation. All right. We'll keep the game going. You can go ahead and pitch. All right, go ahead. You can, it's fine. You can go, it's all right. We can, that's fine. We can put that on the menu. Boy, I tell you, sometimes we can be so hard-headed, it makes it hard for anybody to work with us. Some things don't matter. I don't know if you found it out yet or not. I really don't care what color the carpet is. Well, I mean, in moderation, we're not going to put purple and orange carpet down. We're not going to put red and white carpet down. We're not going to put fuchsia carpet down. And I'm not certain what color that is, but I know we're not putting that color down. But I don't, brown, beige, I don't care. I'm not going to fight about that. There's some people that will fight you over the smallest detail. Listen, the Lord is at hand. He's coming. We need to get the work done while we can get it done. Doesn't really matter about, well, it's got to be the way we've laid it out this way. No, he's saying, listen, have a same mind in the Lord. Why? Why? Because I want you to find your joy there, and I want you to see that his return is coming soon. And then look at verse number 23. Look how the chapter ends. Would you look at the end of the chapter? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. How many of you are glad that God was gracious with you? For by grace are you saved through faith? Amen. Come on, didn't you and I get something we didn't deserve? God extended grace to us. The goodness of God, the goodness of God extended grace to every one of us, no matter how deep, no matter how dark, no matter how stained your life was. The grace of God reached across that. I love the verse that says, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. We're all beneficiaries of that grace. I got something I didn't deserve. The goodness of God, the favor of God. And so when he says, Euodias and Syntyche's name, and he says, you be of the same mind in the Lord. The Holy Ghost is setting up, yes, you both need to rejoice in the Lord. You both need to be conscious of the return of the Lord. And you both need to take and be strong in the grace that is in the Lord. Can I ask you a question? If God's been gracious to you and I, shouldn't we be gracious to one another? Come on, shouldn't we be gracious to one another? The same thing's true in Ephesians 4:32, that we're to be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. If there's ever been a forgiving people, shouldn't it be born again believers? Because we've been forgiven. So because I've been forgiven, then I should be a forgiving individual. I shouldn't keep that offense held tight. I shouldn't hold on to what somebody did to hurt me, or what they said that wasn't what I wanted to hear, or I shouldn't take and keep that trespass that somebody committed against me close to my heart. Instead, I should be able to forgive. And I'm telling you tonight, if there's anybody that ever should have grace in their heart for other people, it ought to be people that have received such grace. And he's telling them, you're going to listen, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. He uses the word Lord three times. Rejoicing, the Lord is at hand, and the grace of the Lord. You say, preacher, would that help us have the same mind? Absolutely. You know, to be gracious with somebody else is just to prefer them, to be kind to them. You know, there are a whole lot of things that you don't have to have your way. You can moderate things because the Lord is at hand. I'm going to put this aside so I can do what I can while I know He's coming back, and while there's still time, I'm going to put aside these petty differences so I can take and get the job done. The same mind. And we need every lady at Tabernacle Baptist Church to have the mindset, what I'm doing is for the Lord because I know His coming is at hand. And what I'm doing, I'm going to do with grace to other people. And what I'm doing, I'm going to do rejoicing, finding my joy in the Lord, not joy in getting my way. And that's why he says back there in verse number 2, I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. How many of you think that would really help a church a whole lot if people had that mindset? Now, inevitably, somebody hears a preacher preach about that. It's just the next thing in the book of Philippians. I don't have, as far as I know, we don't have two ladies that are at one another's throat. I don't know of any two ladies that are bitter at one another. I haven't had somebody come to my office and tell me about how horrible and terrible somebody else is. But this church also was known as a joyful church. And yet the Holy Ghost is directing this toward them. We want to keep the spirit of unity that we have. And we want to multiply ministry. So we need laborers. And those laborers have to be of the same mind. And so the Holy Ghost calls out to Euodias and Syntyche. You say, what happened? I think that they got right with one another. That's what I think. I think they got right with one another. And here's why I think that. Because I think that after hearing that and being part of a church that the Lord obviously wrote a letter to, I believe in all my heart, they said, you know what? God is coming. And you know what? We found a lot of joy when we found Jesus and left that old wicked world. And you know what? God was gracious to us. I tell you what, Syntyche, I'm just going to put aside my petty differences and I'm just going to go ahead and walk with you. We've got a good thing going on here at Philippi. Let's just get the job done together. I think they got right with one another. Amen. That may be something some of us need to do with one another. Put aside old bitternesses, old grievances. Put aside a stubbornness of mind and have a lowliness of mind and a like-mindedness so that we would be able to enjoy what I believe the Church of Philippi is known for. a joyful church. And you know, this thing, these women that are laboring, they're needed. They're needed. And ladies, you're needed. You are absolutely needed. The devil might tell you somebody else can do the job. Listen, your hands are needed on the work at Tabernacle Baptist Church. You say, I don't have the personality, or, you know, I don't know that I necessarily fit in, or, you know, I've not really been here that long. I'm telling you right now, if you're a lady and you're a member of Tabernacle Baptist Church, there is something that you can put your hand to, and we need your help. And I don't just mean the nursery, though we need your help there. Did you notice there was not one amen when I said that? Just laughter. It's a sad thing that some people think the only thing ladies do is keep the nursery. You know, I got a list. I'm not going to go through it tonight, but I think what I'll do is I'll put it on the table. I'll have a copy of it printed. I went through the Bible and just looked at some of the things the Bible says that women do in laboring for the Lord. And can I just give you a couple of things that God notes? We'll be finished in just a moment. We still aren't at 7 o'clock. You know, one of the things that God notes that women do in laboring is praying. He calls that laboring. He calls that serving. There's a woman by the name of Anna in Luke chapter 2. She served God continually, night and day, with fasting and prayer. That was something that she was doing for the Lord's sake, and not only in praying. And I'm telling you right now, I personally, we need more women in the prayer room just like we need men in the prayer room. Anna was a praying woman. And not only in praying, but also in teaching. When I look in my Bible and I begin to look at people like Lois and Eunice, you know, I think moms teaching their children, you know, Timothy had a mother and a grandmother that put something in him that turned him into being a great minister of the Lord. It wasn't a dad, it was a mom that did that. And then not only teaching Timothy, but you have Priscilla, Aquila and Priscilla teaching Apollos in Acts chapter 18. She knew her Bible. Aquila and Priscilla knew their Bible, and they talked to a man of God, and they helped him. And then, you know, there's a thing that I know it's not often spoken about. It's usually just quoted. How many of you know the Bible says in Titus chapter 2 that the older women are to teach the younger women? How often does that happen? That's a service that's needed. The Bible says the older women are to teach the younger women how to love their husbands, how to love their children. And it's something you think that's natural. No, they need to be taught to do it. The Bible also talks about a woman, how that she can give, and God noticed that poor widow and what she gave. But those women that ministered to Jesus out of their substance, he's traveling around and ministering, and it doesn't mention the men that ministered to him of their substance. In Luke chapter 8, it says those women ministered to him of their substance. They opened up their purse, they reached inside and pulled out a piece of money, and they said, Lord, here you go, you do what needs to be done. You know what I'm convinced of? I'm convinced that Tabernacle Baptist Church's missions ministry, that if we had all the ladies to quit giving, we would probably have a lot, we would have such a lower number and amount of missionaries we'd be able to take on and support. I believe we got a lot of ladies that are giving to missions on purpose, trying to get the gospel around the world. Pulling a little money out of that purse. It's funny how sometimes those older ladies seem to have little money somewhere. They want a little money in that purse. They can take and they can give it to somebody, grandchild, somebody else. And many times we have somebody come down front. They'll put money in their hand. Giving. Not only giving, but also in witnessing. I know there are people that don't believe women ought to witness. I think we ought to all be witnesses. Now, I know people say, well, I don't think a woman should witness to a man. I've heard people say a man shouldn't witness to a woman. You know what the Bible says? Go ye into all the world and teach the gospel. The Bible says every creature is supposed to hear. And all I would say is this, that Jesus did not rebuke that woman from Samaria from going back in there and talking to all those women. Come see a man told me all that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Now, it's quiet, but she went and she was a witness to all those men. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And they came out. And many of them believed. And some of them said, we believe not because of your testimony, but because we've heard him. But the bottom line is she went back and witnessed. I'm telling you, hey, it is so detrimental to the gospel to say you have to do it this way, under this auspices, under these rules and these methodology. There are not enough people talking about Jesus as it is. Well, you just be quiet. Don't you tell anybody about Christ. I think Jesus smiled when he saw them men coming out of Samaria. Amen. Amen. entertaining. And what I don't mean putting on a show, but the Bible speaks about Lydia, how that she entertained people in Acts chapter 16, and how Sarah, Genesis chapter 18, entertained those angels, those strangers that came in unawares. She entertained them. I think there's something to be said about serving meals, and I'm glad we have a lot of ladies that help with that. But having people into your home, I think that's a ministry. Not only that, but the Bible says that Phoebe served in Romans 16. It doesn't tell us everything she did, but she served. Tabitha, she served. She used her hands. She made coats for those widows. And all I'm saying is there is so much. When somebody says, I just don't think there's anything at church that I can do, there's so much that can be done. And here's what I'm going to tell you right now. Look, if you're a lady and you need something to do at Tabernacle, come see me. Come see me. I promise you we'll get you connected. We'll find a place for you to be able to put your hands to labor. And we need you. And to have the idea is, no, women are just to be silent. They're supposed to sit on the side, keep the nursery. Everybody else is supposed to take care of things. No, not at all. I don't believe that. God recognized Yodias Syntyche and these women that helped him in the gospel. And we need you. And if you want a place, if you need a role, if you don't feel like that you found fulfillment right now, you come see me and we'll find a place to put you to work and give you an opportunity to put your hand to the help and the aid of the gospel. And I tell you, we need you. We need you. And not just for VBS and the nursery. We need you right here at Tabernacle. There's so many ministries that my mind, if we had more ladies, that we would probably try to take and pursue. I think about ministries where we have people who have children that have gone astray. How many of you think it's hard to have children that are gone astray? You know, most people don't talk to other people about that. To be a single parent is really difficult. To take and have to live by yourself, widowed, is very difficult. To live with cancer, there are so many things that we could take and try to point people to. A women's Bible study where we had ladies to come and learn what the Bible says about being a woman that God is pleased with. There are so many things that are out there, and we just need your help. And I'm telling you right now, men, how many of you are glad we got some ladies laboring at Tabernacle Baptist Church? Amen. Now, the truth is, I didn't say it tonight, we got some ladies that they're spinning dozens of plates at the same time. They're busy. We just need somebody else to come alongside. We have some ladies that have labored here for years and years and years, and they're going to keep laboring. I'm sure they'll tell you. Till God called me home. We just need somebody to come aside. And we appreciate you. You stand to your feet. And thank you for being here tonight. We appreciate your attention. And the Bible addressing women in ministry. Need to have that same mind. And we need more laborers. And we can see God do more. All right. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for tonight. Thank you for the way that you've helped us to see in the Bible our need. God, help me. Help me to be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus with other people. Lord, help us to be gracious to one another. Lord, I pray you'd help us to rejoice in you, that we'd find our joy more so in you than in some other vain thing of life, and that if we would look there, that would just be something that would continue. Lord, help us to see that your coming is at hand, and we need to get fully engaged while there's still an opportunity. Thank you, Lord, for bringing these ladies to our attention. Thank you for their service. Thank you for the ladies that we have at Tabernacle Baptist Church that try to live a godly life and try, Lord, to serve you. And I pray, God, you'd help them to multiply that ministry and that there would be more that's done and accomplished because of their investment, Lord. And we thank you again. For